With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Energy independence is no longer a theoretical goal, but a vital part of America's national security and economic survival.
Nebraska Representative Adrian Smith talking about year-round E15 availability.
Fortunately, E15 is a winning solution. It is a reliable, clean, and affordable homegrown fuel that strengthens every link in our domestic energy supply chain. Nationwide, year-round E15 would provide immediate relief to consumers, lowering costs at the pump at different levels, but in my district, you can see up to 52 cents per gallon at a time when families need it most.
Ethanol blending economics drawing new attention as Congress debates the year-round E15 access. It's already passed the House, now headed to the Senate. OPIS reports Chicago spot ethanol prices and D6 renewable ID number credit values did converge recently, with the D6 RINs trading above physical ethanol with attached credits for the first time under the RFS. Now, OPIS assessed prompt Chicago Argo ethanol at $1.936 per gallon last week. D6 RINs assessed at $201,625, and Chicago CBOB gasoline blend stock assessed at $3.7085 per gallon. Renewable Fuels Association CEO Jeff Cooper says the pricing shows strong economic incentives for more ethanol blending. Well, soybean crush demand getting stronger support from federal biofuel policy, with the new renewable fuel standard targets tightening the soybean oil balance sheet. Oklahoma State University's Dr. Todd Hubb says EPA's final rule sets much tighter and higher biomass-based diesel obligations for 2026 and 2027. Hubb says biomass-based diesel requirements jumped to 9.07 billion RIN gallons this year, 9.2 billion next year, and it creates much stronger demand for D4 credits tied to biodiesel and renewable diesel. Clean Fuels Alliance America launching national fuel quality reports. This gives marketers, fleets, buyers, and equipment manufacturers a broader view of fuel quality across the U.S. Reports cover biodiesel, diesel, gasoline grades, ethanol, aviation fuel, kerosene, specialty fuels, and it includes B99 and B100 diesel, B6 plus blends, and E15 through E85 gasoline. The effort builds on a quality assurance program tracking biodiesel quality from accredited producers since 2017. You know, U.S. farmers may need to prepare for a future in which global demand does not continue to expand simply because the population grows. Terrain's Matt Clark and Don Close say global population growth could peak around the mid-2060s, eventually changing export assumptions for bulk commodities. For decades, U.S. ags planned around feeding a growing world. But Terrain says that model may slowly shift towards less bulk exports. It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
You know, the basic process hasn't changed. Those facilities are some of the biggest, nicest facilities on the border. The thing that keeps changing is we keep adding more walls.
Oklahoma State livestock marketing economist Dr. Daryl Peel.
Part of the process of border security, they've built larger and larger walls, and they're adding more layers of walls right through there. The very first time I ever went there in the 1990s, there were absolutely no walls, and we were able to walk across and follow the cattle across between the two sets of facilities that sit on the border. Now you can't even see through the fence, let alone walk across there. They can process at that facility. They have processed as much as about 4,000 head a day. Now, that's unusual. That's a very, very big number. This would have been a number of years ago, but they're more likely to process somewhere in the 1,500 to 2,500 head a day. I don't know what their actual average is from their data. That facility at Santa Teresa, which is just west of El Paso, Texas, is actually the biggest border port in terms of the volume of cattle. So I do know from the data in 2023, which was the last full year of movement that we had, that about 42% of all the cattle imports from Mexico came through that facility.
And as we've been talking about our neighbors to the south, wanting to look at our neighbors to the north and thinking about trade with them, is it still flowing?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we sometimes don't talk about the cattle situation, the cattle trade with Canada. And so we do both import and export in Canada. Cattle imports from Canada in 2025, we imported about 750,000 head, roughly 750,000. About 75% of those were slaughtered cattle, either fed steers and heifers out of their feedlots, as well as slaughter cows and bulls that come into processing facilities in the U.S. We also imported about 18 or 19% of the imports last year were feeder cattle from Canada that were going into U.S. feedlots. We also exported quite a few cattle to Canada in the last few years. That has grown a lot. Cattle numbers have been tight in Canada as well as in the U.S. And geographically, there are certain regions where they will come down and buy U.S. feeder cattle, the Northern Plains, North Dakota, Montana, that region. And last year, we exported just under 1 million head of cattle to Canada. Almost all of those would have been feeder cattle. So, in fact, the amount of exports was about 65% of the amount of imports. But again, it's kind of specialization in the two countries. We're exporting feeder cattle to them, bringing mostly fed cattle back into the U.S. No, it's much easier on the Canadian border. We don't go through the same sort of in Mexico. All the cattle that come in, every one of them is physically inspected by hand. We're checking for ticks. Of course, when we are trading or when we were trading before and will again at some point, we'll also be checking for, for the New World screw worm. They also have more paperwork requirements. Mexico, depending on the part of the country you're in, has different paperwork and testing requirements for tuberculosis as well as brucellosis. And so there's a lot more involved on the Mexican border. Canadians, for the most part, there is paperwork involved, but for the most part, the trucks just move across the border, much like movement in the U.S. from state to state.
And then there's the drought.
That drought index has never been as high as it's been at this time of the year for the last 4 weeks. So we've seen more average drought conditions for this time of the year than we've ever seen. The drought monitor has been around since 2000. So less than 2% of the time does it ever go to this drought level for the U.S. And it's never done it at this time of the year.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
So as a reminder, right, the changes that we made, we announced in November, but they didn't really go into effect until our Q2, the quarter that just ended. And so it's early through that.
Kurt Calloway is Chief Financial Officer with Tyson Foods, speaking recently at the BMO Global Farm to Market Conference.
The expectation was processing within our new footprint, right, which was designed for where we felt the cattle would be available in the future, not yesterday or not today, but the right size for where it needed to be. Closing one facility and taking one from two shifts to one was the move for us to make. Now, that enables us to run the available cattle in the industry in an environment where we can be absolutely competitive as anybody else, right? We're not going to control cattle costs. We're not going to control the ultimate cutout. But what we can do is operate with great efficiency inside our network. And it's early, right? But we're starting to see the benefits of that as we've moved into that footprint. Now, naturally, when you're in a transition period, while, yes, there's a date in which that happens, there's still, costs associated with it as moving things around or inefficiencies as you're running that activity. And so our third quarter will be the first point in which we're operating completely in that new footprint, and the expectation of being absolutely competitive in the industry is there.
No doubt the Packers are losing a lot of money in the beef sector.
While we're still in a loss situation, right, narrowing those losses in the back half of the year were apparent in our guidance for the back half.
Now, earlier, Tyson believed they were starting to see some heifer retention. Is that still the case?
It's still, I would say, spotty and regional, right? The pace at which perhaps some had forecasted before, hasn't picked up. Look, it's still going to be a tight cattle supply situation as we move through 26 and into 27. But as I said earlier, what we're controlling, and back to Donnie's mission for us to make sure we're controlling controllables, that's what we did with the footprint, and that's what we're executing, and we'll manage through in 26 and into 27, and we'll still manage in a tight cattle supply.
But the future outlook is improving. What will Tyson do with the additional revenue when it comes?
So happy to say, in addition to improving guidance for the year between 2.2 and 2.4 billion, we also raised free cash flow guidance for 2026 to $1.2 to $1.8 billion. Our CapEx has been in the range, as we've said, the entire year between $700 million and $1 billion. Our historical average is a little above that, more like call it 1.2. But I'll hurry on to remind everybody that, right, we spent a lot of capital over the last couple of years, right? We put a lot of capacity expansion in the network, built four domestic plants in the United States, built seven internationally, and we added a lot. And we've been working on certainly filling that up and operating with excellence, as Donnie mentioned earlier. But ultimately, our long-term expectation of leverage is at or below 2x. And at the end of our Q1, we hit 2.0x. Naturally for us, Q1 is we generate a little excess cash. Q2, we use a little cash, just the normal cycle. So leverage was at 2.2 as we finished Q2. But it's a very much a sweet spot for us. We have ultimate optionality and flexibility. And as you pointed out earlier in the opening comments, we've been very diligent paying down gross debt. $300 million this quarter, $1 billion in the last year, nearly $2 billion in the last six quarters, right? We've demonstrated a commitment to that, and we have a lot of optionality and flexibility. I'll just end, with our return cash to shareholders as well. We've returned in the first half of the year just under $450 million through dividends and share repos. I think it's a very impressive stat.
It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
On the economy, two words, resilience and prosperity.
At a White House cabinet meeting, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
The continued resilience of the economy speaks for itself, even during the conflict, and it speaks to the strength of your leadership. Pro-growth policies are creating conditions for American families and businesses to prosper. We're entering the second half of our 250th anniversary year with renewed optimism and momentum. It has never been a better time to be an American, and as you said earlier, we have a record number of Americans working. The economy that you are building is not only strong, but secure and resilient and better positioned to compete globally. Real GDP has risen 2.7% over the past four quarters, something that many economists said couldn't be done. In the first quarter of 2026, despite the Iran conflict, GDP grew at a 2% annual rate. The Atlanta Fed GDP now is predicting 4.3% for this quarter. In terms of prices, I believe the prices are transitory. Oil will be lower than pre-conflict levels when this ends. Natural gas is already down, as you mentioned. Drug and pharmaceutical prices, they are plummeting, and rent is down. We are more resilient to energy price fluctuations due to your energy dominance agenda, to regulatory efforts, and we have never sold so much energy to the rest of the world. Business investment rose at a 10.4% annual rate in the first quarter. Capital expenditures and business equipment rose more than 17%, and that is as a result of the tax bill and tariffs. Jobs related to commercial construction, factory construction, are up 90,000 since your inauguration. In the past 2 months, the private sector, as Kelly said, has added 313,000 new jobs. And those are private sector jobs, sir, including 13,000 manufacturing jobs. We have construction jobs. We're building the factories, and those will turn into manufacturing jobs. The stock market has hit new highs. The stock market lives in the future. It is seeing the on the other side of this conflict. It is a strong symbol of optimism for the future. Corporate earnings are high, and wages are doing well. For the tax season, we had the best tax filing season in history, which is a victory for Main Street. The average refund was nearly $3,300, 11% increase from last tax filing season. And importantly, 62 million returns had one of your four signature policies. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime. They reduced taxes. 85% of our seniors paid no taxes on Social Security. And the deductibility of auto loans for American-made cars. For the what I believe is the most important government benefit for young people since the GI Bill, the Trump accounts, the app will be available on all major platforms tomorrow morning, and it will place the American dreams into the palms of the hands of parents and children. Nearly 6 million kids have been signed up for Trump accounts, and they will launch on July 4th, and it will be a great symbol of the 250th anniversary. Main Street prosperity, workers have seen positive wage gains. The unemployment rate remains low at 4.3%, and private sector job growth is strong. So just to reiterate, resilience and prosperity have been the marks of your second term.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
You know, we have a checkoff program, and each month our dairy farmers across the United States put a small amount of their earnings into a checkoff program that goes for promotion as well as research.
Kansas State Dairy Specialist, Dr. Mike Brook.
One of the things is a shout out today to our National Dairy Council for the way they've utilized these dollars over the last 20 years. I think an important part of what we do with promotion and checkoff dollars is actually research. And in the last 20 years, there's been a lot of research done on the value of dairy products in a healthy diet for us humans. You know, a lot of times we think about checkoff dollars as mostly going to promotion. And yes, there are certain parts of the program that do involve dollars being spent on promotion, but probably the most significant dollars that are spent would be actually on research. You may not realize it, but over the last two decades, there's been more than 80 studies conducted throughout the United States that look specifically at whole milk and whole milk dairy foods and their impact on human nutrition. These studies have been very pivotal in how we think about dairy products and the fact that they are part of a healthy diet for us, and that we need to be concerned about maybe the volumes that we consume, but having those products in our diets are very important for our overall health. Now, it's not just about the research studies that have been done. It's how that information is utilized and how we communicate that with those that are involved in human nutrition. I think one of the more significant things that the council has done in the past 20 years is developed relationships with human nutrition professionals throughout the United States. And they even have some human nutrition professionals that are part of their research teams and help understand how we actually present this information to nutrition professionals throughout the United States. Many of these studies have been presented at various scientific conferences like the American Society of Nutrition's annual meeting. And we continue to strive not only to produce quality research, but also to communicate those research results. So when we think about things like whole milk and its value in our diets, it's really because of the research that we've done over the last 20 years that we can actually talk about how important this is for the health of people. And it takes a while, but over time it has actually resulted in an increase in the amount of whole milk consumption that we have in the United States. Some other things that this research is going to support is the value of milk protein in the human diet as well. So when we look at the recent increase in protein price in our paychecks on the farm, we need to remember that part of that is driven by the investment that we have made over the last couple of decades in research that actually helps consumers understand the value of things like whole milk and its value in our diets.
Well, number of milk cows on farms in the U.S., 9.65 million head. That's 190,000 head more than a year ago. Production per cow up 14 pounds, 2,069. And finally, milk production up 2.7%. It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
It's that time of year when the forage is growing rapidly. It's lush and green and quality is as high as it's going to be all year.
Dr. Dave Lallman with Oklahoma State.
Just a few weeks ago, we talked about having forage samples analyzed for mineral content. And we can get about 10 different minerals from our forage laboratory here at the Oklahoma State Lab for about $15 a sample. And so, you know, as we go through the grazing season, quality is going to vary substantially. This time of year, most of the mineral concentrations will be as high as they're going to be all year. In an extensive survey of forages several years ago, we found that the primary minerals to be concerned about for beef cattle in Oklahoma tend to be phosphorus, sometimes zinc, and a high percentage of the time, copper. And so certainly we'd encourage people to take a look at those concentrations in their forages. We analyzed three different forages, very different in quality, just a few weeks ago. We looked at fresh or lush wheat pasture, native range there kind of towards the end of March, or tall grass prairie, if you want to think of it that way, and then also some really nice high-quality Bermuda grass hay. And what we saw in those samples was that the phosphorus content was adequate, as you'd expect, in the wheat pasture forage, and it was also adequate in the nice quality Bermuda grass hay. And that's very consistent with what we normally see. Although the phosphorus content of the late season tall grass prairie was very low. So certainly later in the growing season, when the concentration of phosphorus declines in tall grass prairie forage, like switchgrass or Indian grass, big blue stem, little blue stem, those concentration of phosphorus is going to decline substantially. And that's what we saw in this little demonstration, 0.1. And the cow's requirement is about 0.2. So it's only providing about half of what that cow, a lactating cow, requires. And so, you know, anytime when the forage quality and that native grass in particular is getting lower due to either drought or the time of the year, that would be the time when you'd want to be supplying a mineral supplement fortified with phosphorus, such as, you know, something 8, maybe up to 12% phosphorus. Also, we looked at the zinc and the copper concentration of that wheat, the Bermuda grass, and that native range forage. And as you would expect, the wheat pasture was really pretty high in zinc concentration. Surprisingly, it was below the animal's requirements in copper. Just about 6 parts per million. A beef cow requires about 10 parts per million. On the other hand, the zinc concentration was adequate in the wheat pasture. It was adequate in the Bermuda grass. And surprisingly, it was adequate in the native range forage as well. But the copper concentration in that native range was very low at only 3 parts per million. And again, the cow's requirement is about 10 parts per million. So the results from those samples were much what we had expect based on previous surveys of common forages in Oklahoma. You know, it's very common for phosphorus to be deficient in any type of tall grass prairie forage, especially later in the grazing season and during winter.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.